Gemara tells us in the Sechus Yuma about the great value, the great kalach of a person who does tshuva and of the overall value of tshuva in the world. And the Gemara records a number of fascinating statements. Says that tshuva is maybe refua liolam. Tshuva brings health to the world. Tshuva is magas b'kisei hakavo. Tshuva reaches all the way up to the celestial chair, to the celestial throne. It says that tshuva brings things back to the very beginning of the world. And on, the great value of the process of tshuva. Tshuva may be geula liolam. Tshuva brings redemption to the world. And a person can ask the question that if what tshuva is about, in essence, is removing oneself from averos, it's saying that yesterday I ate a cheeseburger, but today myself and my friends and the community, we're going to keep away from the cheeseburger and only eat the kosher, the light hamburgers. And it's simply changing of a behavior pattern. Would that be enough to go ahead and to warrant such beatific statements, such dramatic statements about the koach of tshuva, simply for correcting behavior? And maybe a person could argue, absolutely, that change of behavior, that tikkun of one's own hanhagos, of one's own daily behavior, the decision to go ahead and to take upon oneself the obligation or the fulfillment of mitzvot and to stay away from averos, maybe that in and of itself would be enough to warrant such statements, such dramatic statements about the koach of tshuva. But first, can also say that what's implicit in tshuva is not just a change of behavior, but it's a complete change of perspective. It's a complete change and transformation of the person who's chozer b'tshuva. And maybe it's that transformation of the entire entity, the entire mahus, essence of the individual, and not just the prat, but bechlau. It's that change of attitude, that transformation of being, that transformation of the essence of a person, of a community, that is implicit and implied in the statements that tshuvas may be geula, tshuvas may be refua l'olam. And let me try to talk about that transformation in the context of the mitzvah of Ahavat Yisrael, that a person should love other members of Klal Yisrael. Now, when you go through the Mefarshim, it would seem that this mitzvah of Ahavat Yisrael is spoken about, is analyzed, really in a number of different ways, and maybe we'll break that into two categories. Category number one is klape ben adam l'chaveiro, one person as they relate to another person, and it really deals with, in essence, interpersonal relationships, interpersonal dynamics, sociological realities, societal standards, building community, etc. That's one general mahalach, and we'll talk about two different specific approaches within that. And the second mahalach is that the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael isn't just about setting up a certain type of community, but it's about our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it reflects or as it is enhanced, as it expresses itself in the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael and Avos HaBriyos. Now let's take each one of those categories with the two subsets in each category, piece by piece. The person who talks about this mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, or the people who talk about it, and many of the Rishonim address it, but we'll mention at first the Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch. The Rambam discusses this mitzvah, Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel, and also listed as one of the mitzvot in the Sefer HaMitzvot, of the necessity of Ahavta L'Reyacha Kamocha. Avos Yisrael is an outgrowth of the mitzvah of loving your neighbor. And the Rambam, as does the Ramban and other Rishonim, they're bothered by the age-old question of how does person A love person B as much as they love themselves. Truth is, I was always, I guess, perplexed by the question of the Rambam, it would seem logically, going through one's own life experience, that a person can love other people, genuine feelings of ahava, as much as they love themselves. A person can love their wife, maybe even more than they love themselves. That's what Gemara Ksuva says should be the ideal. A person certainly loves their children more than they love themselves. A person has a close friend, a David and Yonatan relationship. Certainly the love they have for their friend can probably be parallel to the love one feels for themselves, the love one feels for their family, for their parents. But the Rambam seems to imply that genuine love for another person can never match the standards of love that one feels for themselves. And therefore the Rambam says that the diuk is an hafta liriyafa kamokfa, that one should demonstrate love to another person in the way they love themselves, but that's much more in action. Maybe perhaps based on the Gemara in Shabbos that says that what is hated to you, do not do to somebody else. But it's all based on behavior and actions that we should try to help out financially, help out in chesed, help out in all the various ways to our friend, the way that we would want somebody to treat us. And the creation of the Rambam, both in the Mishneh Torah and even more so in the Sefer HaMitzvot, is that the necessity of this mitzvah, which is based on actions and based on behavior, is to establish a certain type of community. That a community that doesn't function based on love and respect, chesed, bilateral giving to each other, sensitivity to one's needs, that's no community at all. The community cannot function that way. And that which seems to be underlying the Rambam is expressed explicitly in the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch says that the purpose of Mitzvah Teretz Kamocha is really in a very utilitarian type of way, that a society, a community cannot function if people are only selfish, people are only concerned about themselves. In order for us to just live in a normal, harmonious, healthy, functioning community, we have to have at the center of that, at the root of that, this mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael, of Hatrecha Kamocha, as a way, again, of establishing a community. That's the opinion of the Rambam, the Sefer Chinuch, and many, many others as well. And that's the underlying idea of Ahavas Yisrael. Now, those Mefarshim, and it's not surprising if I tell you that the Maharal and many others, especially following in a more Hasidic school of thought, believe that Ahavas Yisrael is much more than simply meeting the needs of another person in order to set up a certain type of community, but there's such a thing perhaps locally referred to as the Nishmas Yisrael, the soul of Israel, that in the same way that two siblings can look at each other, said the Maharal, and know that they're linked by genes and by family and by bloodlines and by a last name and all those other elements that make people realize the fundamental link between people. So too, every Jew should understand that there's such a thing called one neshama for Israel. It's kimat as though one guf, one being with many different limbs that all function differently but should be functioning in unison. And that's the concept, not just of I will give to my neighbor so we can set up a proper society, but there's a sense of Nishmas Yisrael, the oneness of being a combined or a unified essence with a unified history and a unified future. And that's really about, again, a communal, a connected soul that exists among Klai Yisrael. Maharal says this in Ahavat Reya, in his Sefer Nesivas Olam. He has a Nesiv, he has a few chapters on this idea of Ahavat Reya, loving each other. And there the Maharal said, again, exactly this idea, this unison, this unified being, body of Chayisrael. The Maharal said, if people do not get along, and there's an absence of this Ahavat Yisrael, that makes a statement, or that reflects on the fact that Klai Yisrael is not one. You know, when two people walk by each other in the street, and one person wishes the other person a good Shabbos, and the other person looks at him like the first person has arrived from Mars, or people are rude to each other, or people say lashon hara about each other. If you go there, it's Yisrael, and people putting up, you know, posters one person speaking about another person, and on and on and on. So that's a reflection to the Maharal that we're not, in fact, this unified being. We're not, in fact, this unified body. So recently, a letter to the Chofetz Chaim discussing this phenomenon that the Chofetz Chaim had heard that there are people in Eretz Yisrael who were putting up posters, one person against another person. The Chofetz Chaim couldn't believe it. It was just like he was shocked that such a thing could exist. But the reality is that in big ways and small ways, that unity is missing. And Maharal said that lack of unity is a reflection that perhaps is not this concept, or that this concept of the Nishmas Yisrael is certainly not a living, breathing, functioning, vital concept, this sense, again, of the unified nature of Israel. Now, both the opinion of the Rambam / the Chinuch, the opinion of the Maharal, I'll mention another opinion in a second, all reflects Avas Yisrael, where the centerpiece of that Avas Yisrael is interpersonal relationships. Let me add another Maharal welcome to that. It's a very, very famous statement by Moshe Cordovero, known as the Ramak. The Ramak was the Rebbe of the Arizal. He existed in Tzfas during that very holy, very special time in our history. And Moshe Cordovero's legacy, besides all of his Talmidim and many of his lectures, Tzvarim that have been lost to us, the Sefer that is most known to us is the Tomer Devorah. The Tomer Devorah is a beautiful Sefer, one of personally my favorite Tzvarim, and the central piece of the Tomer Devorah is taking the 13 Midos that are describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence that were expressed by the Navi Micha. It's the Haftarah that we read on Shabbat Shuva. So, Yemiel Kamocha, Nose Avo, and who is like you, God, the one who can burden the sins of Israel, etc., speaking about the various Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And each one of those Midos, the Ramah, from which Cordovero said, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is A, and just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to his nation in a certain type of way, if we want to fulfill the necessity of Halacha B'drachav, following the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, known in the fancy Latin as Imitatio Dei, so we take these Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as expressed in the Sefer Micham, and we try to integrate those into our own life as well. And he goes through each one of the 13 attributes of God, said this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with Klai Yisrael, and hence, this is the way that we as human beings should be interacting with each other. Now, the fourth of those Midos in that pasuk is L'she'eris Nachalaso, to the She'er of his Nachala. Now, what does it mean, L'she'eris Nachalaso? Speaking about us being a Nachala, us sort of being his inheritance, us being that which he has placed on this earth, for a certain purpose. The word L'she'eris is confusing. The word She'eris, the way that the Ramak explains it, is like when we have, by the concept of in Maseches Yevamos, that a person is She'er, based on the Psukim, it means that persons are literally related to each other. She'er doesn't mean the remaining or the leftover. She'er means like the relatives. A person is She'er, person is related to each other. So the Ramak said that the very essence of this pasuk is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu views Klai Yisrael as his she'er, as almost like an outgrowth of his being, an outgrowth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. This language is described as well by the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya says that in a way our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even stronger than the connection of a son to a father. Because when a parent has a child, that child now is completely separate from the parent. His being, everything about him is removed from the parent. He's still connected. They still have the same genes. They love each other. But again, the child now is his own entity. With the human being in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have taken a piece of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence sort of within us. We're a piece of us. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost exists within us. Therefore, we are the she'er. We are almost related to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too, for the Ramak, just like we are the she'er of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so every person in Klai Yisrael is supposed to feel as though we are the she'er. We are related in a very, very real type of way, that each person in a spiritual way has a piece of another individual within them. And it's not just that I'm my own entity, my own separate being, and you're your separate being. No, but each one of our souls somehow are integrated and related and connected to each other. So, look, when he used to walk through the streets of Yerushalayim, and he would see some of the chalutim, some of the chilonim, the non-frum chalutim, he would often embrace them on the streets, the way that two people who are literally related to each other. Because he just felt that here's a Jew, and he has a piece of my soul in him, and I have a piece of his soul within me, and the depth of connection that creates, and that's the same concept of the Maral, the Nishmat Yisrael. The Ramak said that's shot in the idea that is expressed in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, each person are Arev, responsible to each other. Why? Why am I responsible to you? And why is it that if you have not fulfilled your mitzvah in the Kiyah Shofar, that I can come ahead and blow the shofar for you and say the bracha for you? So the Ramak said, because each one of us are a she'er to each other, so if you have not fulfilled your mitzvah, the Kiyah Shofar, so a piece of me has not yet fulfilled my mitzvah, the Kiyah Shofar. Therefore, when I say the bracha for you, it's not a bracha l'batalah, because I myself have not fulfilled my mitzvah because of the depth and the intensity of our connection. That's ad kedei kach. Ad kedei kach, so much so, this sense of the unified nishmat Yisrael, that I have not, in a halachic way, fulfilled yet my mitzvah, if you have not fulfilled your obligation as well. Again, so we have the idea, perhaps, of the Rambam, the Chinuch, societal-based, utilitarian-based, the idea of the Maharal and the Talmud Devorah, not so much based on society, but based on this larger ethic of the nishmat Yisrael. It might be a good time to stop, take a few minutes just to reflect on a few of the beautiful, beautiful Mar Mekomos that discuss this concept of Avas Yisrael, of what it means to be connected to people. I'll mention, you can go through hundreds of these ideas, but I'll mention just three of them very briefly. One idea comes from the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, Mishneir Zalman, he spoke in Perek Yud Beis about the necessity of a person's brain always staying above or controlling or guiding one's emotions, one's impulses, one's feelings that sort of grab onto one's heart and rises and takes over and dominates behavior. So Shneur Zalman says that a person's brain always needs to sort of be the conductor of that. And when a person feels that they're guided by impulse, allow the brain to rise above that and to either reject that impulse, which is difficult, or to somehow deal with that impulse and those feelings in a way that neutralizes sometimes the negative impact of those feelings. And if anything, turns those negative feelings into a positive. Now, this is a theme in general by Shneur Zalman that applies in all areas, but he applies it at the end of Perek Yud Beis to the midst of Avas Yisrael, to our relations with other people. Shneur Zalman said that the nature of Avas Yisrael is such that we never want there to be discord or a lack of harmony. We want there to be a oneness among Chai Yisrael. But the nature of life is that sometimes person A feels very, very negative feelings towards person B. They start feeling hatred, animosity, negativity, jealousy, anger, all of those things to another person. And Rav Shneur Zalman, the Alter Rebbe, said, instead of allowing those emotions to dictate, the brain should stop for a second, realize what's happening, realizing like a runaway train of feelings that a person A has to a fellow Jew or to a fellow person. And at that moment, the necessity of almost taking a deep breath, but even more so, understanding that the way of counteracting those negative feelings is by now doing something for that person, is doing a chesed for that person, going out of one's way for them, seeing the good in them, doing whatever one has to do to be giving and generous to quiet down those negative emotions because, again, of the great seriousness of this idea of Avas Yisrael, of the connection whether it be because of the Rambam or because of the Maharal, the connection between Jews, whatever, we have to do whatever we can do to quiet down or to redirect those feelings. I was very grateful that I was learning the Tanya before I went on a trip to Eretz Yisrael this past year. And I don't say this this story out of in any way, any self-aggrandizement or that I'm such a good person, but I simply was taking into account these words of the Baal Tanya on the trip I was going to Eretz Yisrael. So there was a group of Hasidim on the plane. One of the Hasidish Rebbeim from Muncie had traveled to Israel for a couple weeks, and many, when I say many, I mean thousands of his Hasidim had left Muncie to go spend a week with him, go spend Shabbos with him in Eretz Yisrael. And the plane was a 1 o'clock plane ride leaving from Newark. And when we were waiting for the plane, I tried to go to a number of the chevra and say, why don't we daven now, Minchas Gedolah, instead of waiting to daven on the plane. So they said, no, no, we can't daven Minchas Gedolah. We have to daven Minchas Ketana. And we're not. We have to daven at 3:45 in the afternoon. So I said, Rabosai, if you daven at 3:45 in the afternoon, that's going to be just as they're trying to clear away dinner, or they're going to be serving dinner, serving lunch. It's going to be hundreds upon hundreds of people getting up because the entire plane, besides maybe 40 or 50 people, were the Hasidim going to Eretz Yisrael. I said, why don't we stop it now? So we won't be machmir like that. Let's stop now. And they said, no, 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 we cannot stop it before 3:45. So anyway, one can imagine what the scene was like on the plane. At 3:45, hundreds of people got up to daven with a minion on the plane. The stewardesses were crying. Anybody who wasn't from on the plane was feeling very, very frustrated. Who were from the talking that was going on the entire trip. It was just a miserable, miserable trip, quite honestly, from start to finish. And I got off the plane feeling the exact types of emotions and feelings expressed by the Baal Tanya, this anger, this hatred, this negativity, this sinna, this lack of Avas Yisrael. But the words of the Baal Tanya were sort of resonating, were going through my brain. I said, you know what, I need to somehow counterbalance those feelings. So I waited until everyone had gotten their luggage, and I helped everyone with their luggage, and I made sure that if there's older people there, I helped with their luggage, and this guy over here could find his bag. So I just sort of waited in the airport for an hour or so until sort of all the luggage was taken care of, just as a way, again, of not allowing those negative feelings to root themselves and to dominate, but to go out of our way for another person as a way of negating, as a way of transferring some of the negativity into a very, very healthy, into a very festive place. That's one marimakom of the Baal Tanya. There's another marimakom, just wanted to mention briefly, and that is an idea expressed by Rabbi Yitzchak Volozhin. Rabbi Volozhin, of course, was the son of Chaim Volozhin. And at the beginning of Nefesh HaChaim, excuse me, so Rabbi Yitzchak Volozhin has like about 10 pages talking about what his father was like and just what an amazing person his father was and the impact that his father had on him and Klai Yisrael. We know that Rabbi Chaim Volozhin was known to sort of be like the father of Klai Yisrael. And one of the amazing characteristics that Rabbi Yitzchak Volozhin describes about his father was the unparalleled level of concern that his father had for other Jews and for the tzar, for the suffering of other Jews. And he said this was just like a constant refrain, a constant midah reflected by his father of this enormous, enormous feeling of nosi b'olam chaveiro, feeling the experiences, the pain, the joy, the suffering of other members of Klai Yisrael. Let me read to even a few lines. V'ad kechalot kalach, even when he became very ill and he was lying on his bed and he wasn't even sort of able to think straight anymore, his eyes were turned up to Shemayim. Even at that moment, his eyes were turned up to Shemayim, so Rabbi Volozhin, l'shatev shem Shemayim b'tzara d'haklal b'afrat. In order to be l'shatev shem Shemayim, in order to sort of have a Kadosh Baruch Hu be connected to the tzar, to the suffering of the klal and prat, right? His whole body was shaking, thinking about the experience of other Jews, His cries on his deathbed were enough to break the guf of anybody who was listening. Says, my father used to give me tochacha al shira'a because he saw that he felt that I was not connected enough to the star of other people. This is what he used to tell me always. And what Chaim used to say is, a person was not created, a person is not in this world for himself. A person is simply created in this world to help other people to the best of his ability. It's such a very simple but a beautiful statement of Reb Chaim Volozhin, who normally associated as being sort of the founder of the yeshiva movement and his discussion about Torah Lishma, but his real essence, said Reb Yitzchak Volozhin, is a person whose whole life is about other people. And those are the stories we know as well when it comes to not only Reb Chaim Volozhin, but Reb Chaim Brisk, who of course is a part of this same illustrious Volozhin-Brisk chain as well. We're going to do another marmakom found in Avos Rabbi Natan. The person wants to see Avos Rabbi Natan. If I'm not mistaken, it's in Perek Yutes, Halacha or number 4. There it says that Tamidim came to Rabbi Ezer right at Rabbi Ezer's deathbed, the very, very end of his life. And they said, our Rebbe, our master, this impart with us one last teaching, or out of everything you've taught us in your lifetime, tell us, you know, give us like one last taste of your Torah, one last halacha, one last machshava, one last something. So as they said, you know, what do you want to hear from me? Right? What Torah do you want to hear from me? Go outside, go on the street, and deal respectfully with your fellow man. It's not about a fancy Torah. It's not about a lumdus. It's not even about learning a halacha. Go outside, leave my room, go outside, and be cholei kvodo, and be cholei kavod to your fellow man. That was sort of the last words of Rabbi Ezer. And there's many, many other statements as well, many other marmakomos, of course, that speak about the beauty of chesed and avas Yisrael. Everything we've mentioned until now really speaks about chesed, avas Yisrael, love of one's fellow man, in the sense of the value of either community, of giving to oneself or giving to each other, understanding the oneness of Israel, the Nishmas Israel. But what's clear is that if you go through other sources, and even the sources we mentioned would probably be most of this as well, that the mitzvah of Avos Israel is not just a mitzvah that exists on the plane of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, but it's something that is incorporated, something that is integrated, something that falls as well under the rubric of Ben Adam L'Makom. And the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael is another in a long line of mitzvahs, of obligations, of Jewish ideals, where we see a hybrid, a correlation, an integration of what we might call the more God-focused aspects of our life, together with the more human, the more daily, the more societal obligations of our life. And we see this concept, by the way, in many, many places. I'll just mention two of them briefly, and then we'll get back to Avos Yisrael, but the two marmakomos I'm going to mention clearly relate to the larger ethic of Avos Yisrael. One idea is mentioned in the Chovos Levavos, which of course is the perhaps singular classic of Jewish thought and Jewish belief. And one could argue that the centerpiece of Chovos Levavos is Shaar Bitachon, the gate of belief. And in the Shaar Bitachon, so Rabbeinu Bachya goes through many reasons why belief is a good idea and the benefits from it and the values of it. And in one place he mentions that one of the values of Bitachon is that a person's relationship with other people, with their friends and their community, becomes transformed in a very positive way because of Bitachon. Namely, if I believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and I believe that what I have or what I don't have is because Kadosh Baruch Hu has placed me in this position, and if I don't get a job, then somehow there's a larger vision for the world that I trust in, and I really believe that that the world is run by a higher power, by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what then is the place for me to feel jealous of you, or angry at you, or resentful when you get an interview and I don't get an interview? I'm resentful because you drive this type of car and I drive that type of car. But that the bitachon that a person has is not just klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but something that has a very, very beautiful effect on the nature of interactions and relationships that we have in Om Chaveiro as well. There's another Mar Makom. We're already approaching the season of Mechila. We're already in the middle towards the end of Chodesh Elul, and soon we're going to take upon ourselves the obligation of asking Mechila from our fellow man, which of course is mentioned in the Mishnah of the Gemara, the end of Yuma, and brought down to the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Reish Vav. So something after all to mention, the Pri Chodesh among others, that the tshuva that I do, ben adam l'makom, to me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is meaningless unless I first went to my chaverim and I asked mechila from one's wife, husband, children, parents, friends, co-workers, etc., etc. And until that happens, until I become transformed, in some way perfected, cleansed, in the realm of ben adam l'chaveiro, so don't even talk to me about the mitzvot ben adam l'makom. And again, there is a lot that can be said about this halacha. But again, we see this tziruf between the realm of ben adam l'chaveiro and the realm of ben adam l'makom. And when it comes to mitzvah avas yisrael, also loving another person, so one can argue that it's not just about loving Moshe Shlomo, your next door neighbor, but that there is a whole other domain, a dimension of Avas Hashem that's connected to the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael. And one can express that in one of two ways, in one of two different mahalchim. Number one is something that is described so beautifully by Rav Kook and by Rav Volbi and by many of the other giants of the 20th century about the necessity of first establishing an ethic and a sensitivity between one person and another person, and only by building that sensitivity can then we hope to have a meaningful relation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Rav Kook says, and if people want to find this, this is in the Sefer Midot HaRa'aya, which can be found in the back of the version most of us have of Orot HaTshuva. He said, if you really want to come to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so it's really almost like a ladder. It's almost a cycle of A leading to B, leading to C, leading to D, that many things have to happen in your life. So for a person to develop and to foment, so to speak, the ability to love God. The first is a love of all of nature and all of creation, to recognize the majesty of all of creation, and to love a person walks through Central Park, and a person walks through the world on a beautiful day, and the person sees a marvelous creation, and the person goes to the zoo or to the ocean or anywhere, just to develop the basic love of the Ava for Chol Habruim, for all of creations, human and non-human, for all of Teva, and that's level number one. Level number two, said Rav Kook, is the necessity of Ava for all people, Jew, not Jew, but just the creation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is something that we also have to love. Level three is Avas Yisrael, the love of a fellow Jew, because, again, Yisrael is Nichlal, Yisrael sort of includes everything else in the world, and therefore the love we have for Israel is even more intensified. And when a person becomes that type of religious personality, he becomes an Ohev, becomes a person who's a lover, becomes a person who can feel love in his heart, then he can ultimately come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can ultimately come to take that same personality of being an Ohev and apply that as well to the celestial realms, to loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, loving the one who created all of this. But that can only happen once already we're a person of an Ava in this world. A person who goes through life and they have a personality of negativity, of sinna. They have a personality of cynicism. They have a personality where they have squelched
and squash all the light out of their life, how can that person truly be a person who can turn and feel a genuine avas Hashem? This is something that's discussed by Revolpi in Ali Shor Chelik Aleph, page Tzadi Beis, about the connection, as we've seen in the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, between Chesed and Yira. That if a person is a Yira Shmayim, we know that they must be a Baal Chesed as well. And you would say, wait a second, a person, a Yira Shmayim and a Baal Chesed, those two things are linked. What does it have to do with being a Yira Shmayim and being a Baal Chesed? So a person can give many different answers to this question, but Rav Volpi said that a person whose life is focused inwards, a person who is focused selfishly on their own needs, they're not looking outside of themselves. The person who looks outside of themselves and they're Baal Chesed and they see the feelings and the needs of another person, that's a person who can also see outside themselves and recognize outside of themselves the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. We've always said it's doma to a person who's sitting in a dark house and the window is closed, the blind is closed. So when they open up the blind, so first they notice the tree right outside the window, but then they notice the lake beyond that, and they notice the person behind the tree. So too, a person, once they become a Baal Chesed, can see enough outside their own Dalam Amos that now they can begin to also be a Yira Shmayim. We first develop the midos in this world, between each other, in interactions with other people, and that can help augment and develop the midos and the personality type that allows us to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But there's something more than that as well, as to the connection between Avas Hashem and Avas Yisrael, and that is something that is described beautifully by Rav Hirsch, and also the Maharal, and also Rav Kook, namely, that if a person has a true Avas Hashem, and what Avas Hashem means is that we truly feel the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our life in a very real way, in a very alive type of way. We are cognizant in a very real way of God's presence in the universe and in our own mini-universe, that if we truly feel that, then we'll sense the godliness of everything around us. When we see the world, we'll feel God's imprint in the world. The Midah of Chesed and the Midah of Tzedek and Mishpat, which is God's stamp in this world, will sense godliness in Tzedek and Mishpat. The Torah and the mitzvot, which are a manifestation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's will and a Kadosh Baruch Hu's desire, we're going to have that Avas HaTorah and the Avas HaMitzvot, because we are so deeply connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to feel that presence in Torah and mitzvot and that lifestyle. And lastly, if we're truly cognizant in a very real way of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world, then we will see that in everyone, in all of man around us. And when we see a person, it's not just Joe Schwartz who lives in Teaneck, but that we're seeing a person who is a reflection, an outgrowth, a manifestation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence and the godliness that exists in that man. And therefore, Avas Yisrael is not just about, as the Rambam says, about utilitarian fulfilling each other's needs. It's not only because there's a collective entity called Israel. It's not only that through developing the Mita of love we'll come to love a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's almost the reverse of that in a way that's even more powerful, that the love of God leads us to the recognition and the elevating of, the embracing of every person in this world, and especially every person in the nation of Israel. That's an idea that the Maharal mentioned so beautifully in his Chidushei Agados on Shabbos, in Masechet Shabbos, because in Masechet Shabbos we know, based on the actions of Avram Avinu, that it says, Gadol hachnasas orchin mekabalas b'nei hashchina. It's more important, it's greater, it's welcoming guests than kabalas b'nei hashchina, than to embrace the spirit of a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
But we know that for Avram, so that Avram brought in the Malachim, the three people to his tent, and he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do you stay here, you wait, let me go do the mitzvah of Matzor. The question is why? Why is that the case? How did Avram Avinu know that was the case? So the Maharal said so beautifully that there is the human form of God's Shekhinah in this world, namely a human being, and then we have just the more intense form, the isolated form of a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'Kavodo v'Atzmo, to embrace, to welcome in, to connect with the human form of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a human being, with his Nishmas Elokim, which has been imparted into him, that is far more significant, far more real, far more tangible. That's clearly the role of man on this earth, to embrace not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Chavodu V'Atzmo, to somehow have a person can construct a life where they're sitting on top of a hill in Eretz Yisrael and just communing and connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not the goal. The goal is to do so in the human form of God's presence through Bikur Cholim, Chazorchim, Chesed, all the various forms that Avos Yisrael takes, the embrace of that face of God in a human being, that's clearly man's role in this world. That's what Avraham Avinu realized, and that's what the Gemara is trying to impart into us. The verse says so beautifully, in Vayikra Yutes, Pasuk Yurches, in the midst of Avos Yisrael, realize God, and hence the ability in ourselves to be, and our calling to be holy, to be man. And they are registered, and hence honor everything that exists and breathes as belonging to him, as being his. Again, Avos Yisrael as being a recognition that God is everywhere, and therefore let's honor everything, connect to everything that exists and breathes as being belonging to, as being an outgrowth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we can experience that, if we can experience a depth of a love of God that then manifests itself in an Avos Yisrael, then we understand very well that HaKadosh Baruch Hu then connects to us in a very different type of way. We understand then that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is changed when we see him in everything and in everybody. If we can perfect this meat of Avos Yisrael and see Avos Yisrael as an outgrowth of Avos Hashem, you know, we understand very well that our whole connection with God becomes transformed by that. That's what the Ramchal means, Mesil Shashar and Perikites. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohev, Elo L'misha Ohev Es Yisrael. God loves those who love Israel. V'chol Masha Adam Magdil. The more that man loves the nation of Israel, and the more he does for him, that is the way which HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats a person. It's not just because of the schar. It's not just that we're rewarded, that God gives us more and more bounty, but that our relation with people around us is a reflection of our Avos Hashem, and as a result, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to feel different in our lives. If we go through life with that spirit of seeing the godliness and the greatness, b'chol adam, b'chol habruim, then even just the way and the portals through which we've allowed HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our life has been completely transformed as well. And that's what's implied by that statement by the Ramchal. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohev, Elo L'mish Ohev, Es Yisrael. If that's the case, if that's the spirit that we adopt in our life, it's not a life of narrowness of vision, it's not a life of anger, it's not a life where we're looking to see man in his diminished state, man in his limited state, although he might be limited, but it's a life in which we are aspiring to see man's greatness and to see a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's imprint in every human being, young, old, even Jew or non-Jew, even a person who conducts themselves in ways that are frustrating. But yet, we, in a very steadfast way, we adamantly see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's imprint in that person. That is an entire new spirit in our life. That is a new call, a new voice, a new way about us that we feel and that the people sense around us in our life. That perhaps is the tshuva, that new way of looking at the world, the new way of looking at our children, at our spouses, at our neighbors, at our community. That is the tshuva that is magas l'kisei hakavod. That is the tshuva whose spirit brings the spirit of geula and the spirit of refuah l'ola. It's not just that yesterday I didn't keep kosher, today I keep kosher. No, but it's yesterday I was living life in a limited way, and now I see the imprint of Kadosh Baruch Hu everywhere, in every mitzvah, and in every halacha, and in the Torah Takedosha, and in man around us, and in every chol habruim, everything, kol esmosai tamar demi kamocha, that new spirit where everything within me sees the world in a different type of way, that is the tshuva, the maga'as l'kisei hakavod. So Mir Tashem now, it's already in the midst of Elul, we are in the throes of thinking about tshuva, and let us, yes, have charata and a kabbalah al-asid on every prat, on every mitzvah, on every aveira. But maybe even more so, let us be transformed by the spirit of seeing a sparkle in this world, especially in regards to the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. The Avos Yisrael, yes, is setting up a certain society. It is a sense of the collective oneness of Israel. Avos Yisrael is a way of approaching the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, but more importantly, Avos Yisrael is a reflection of our ability to sense the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And that spirit of refuah, that spirit of geula, should be upon us, should be upon all Klai Yisrael, so we can come back to the ultimate geula, b'mehera v'yomeinu, amen.